This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noelle Lim, and Lynn Mark has appeared in studio this morning with us.
I have, a wild Lynn Mark.
A wild Lynn Mark. Thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning, Lynn.
I'm gracing you with my presence. You should be very grateful. No, I'm just kidding. I shall now just bow down.
In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking with Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General at the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, about the potential of Bud 2021 to help the tourism sector. But before that, let's take a look at markets. Noelle, how did the U.S. do overnight?
Well, the Dow closed up 1.6%. S&P 500 was up 1.2%. NASDAQ up 0.4%. I suppose maybe people are thinking that the U.S. is going into a lockdown again, more COVID-19 cases, and tech is, front and center of the agenda for investors.
Yeah, but it's generally been a little bit of a sell-off over the last few weeks, right? But what about Asia, Lynn? How did it close yesterday?
So Asia was mostly in the greens. The Nikkei 225 was up 1.4%. Shanghai closed up marginally. The Hang Seng was up 1.5%. And the STI closed up 0.8%. The only outlier in the red was, of course, the FBM KLCI, which was just marginally in the red.
Ah, well, just marginally, just down 0.03. It doesn't really mean anything. no, I don't mean that. Anyway, for more on global markets, we now turn to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust, the Bank of America Private Wealth Management, to give us more insights on what's happening around the world. Joe, thank you for joining us as you always do. Now, in the U.S. election, how concerned will markets be as to who controls the Senate, and which direction are you anticipating U.S. equity markets to go once results are announced?
Well, I mean, everyone's focused on a Biden administration, the presidency, but with the gridlock of the Senate staying with the Republicans. And they're assuming that the fiscal package would be smaller, therefore. I think that's semantics. We're going to get a big fiscal package from Washington, probably early January, if not early February. And it's going to be help to drive growth, keep the momentum. So, like, I think we're overthinking this. We're going to get another fiscal package. As I said last week, I don't think we're done. I think we'll get another one in April or May if we need it. So the markets are trading off the optimism that the Fed and Congress have their back when it comes to any type of monetary fiscal stimulus.
Just getting a bit more granular, the Federal Reserve meets on Thursday. Do you expect any significant announcement, especially since the critical job report will be released, I think, the next day?
No, I think the Fed likes being in the background now. Jay Powell's done a great job kind of navigating to where we are today. But the markets are assuming that the Fed has our back. It's a Fed put, the Powell put, you want to call it that way. No serious change. I don't think none of the numbers that the Q3 number was quite robust, but that was expected. Still waiting on inflation. So the economy is improving, but we do need that fiscal stimulus. So if Jay Powell hints at anything, he's going to hint and try to nudge Congress to move faster, not slower.
So, Joe, do you think oil prices will be sidelined until the U.S. election results are announced, or is the global macroeconomic situation affecting price levels more?
No, I think oil prices, the latter. I think oil prices are reflecting the fact that the European Union, starting in Ireland, going across the continent, remember, that's about $18 trillion worth of output. It is slowing down. Europe is going to go back into recession. China, V-shaped recovery, plowing ahead, growing in Q4 into 21. United States, growing in Q4, not by as strong as China, plowing ahead into 21. Europe's a laggard, and they're a big laggard. And that's the weakness in oil prices reflects the fact that one of the largest economic entities is going to do a W. So that they're going back into recession. That's a drag on oil prices.
Now, going from one economic power to another, China's October PMI manufacturing index indicates that factory activity has expanded for six consecutive months. Joe, what are your thoughts on whether China will be able to keep expansion going at this rate for the rest of the year?
I think it will. I mean, China's done a decent job getting the factories up and running. They've done a decent job, protecting the workers, getting people at work. Consumers are coming back around. Travel's picked up a little bit. And they have the benefit of that. Global trade has not been as bad, right? The IMF, World Bank was predicting a huge downdraft in trade that would last most of 2020, and it hasn't happened. The global trade has rebounded thanks to China, also imports and exports. So I do think that China can power ahead, keep their economy going, and that's going to give a lift to agricultural commodities, you know, whether it's lithium batteries, cobalt, you know, the oil complex, copper. I mean, China is helping out a lot of these commodity producers through these tough times. I mean, there's more pain to come, but they are one kind of a one bright light for global growth, as is the U.S. Europe's the laggard.
Speaking about pain, with increased restrictions sweeping the U.K. and Europe, do you favor going long on the U.S. dollar or yen or as a hedge or perhaps gold?
Gold, I think gold's a little overbought here. I like the dollar. Because remember, I mean, the dollar, you know, I hear a lot about dollar weakness. Well, the dollar has to weaken. That means another currency has to strengthen. And Europe is, the euro has lost steam because they're going back and they're going to do a double dip recession. China, you know, their markets, their currency is inconvertible. It can't be bought and sold freely on the markets. The yen, it's not as liquid as the U.S. dollar. So gold, perhaps, but you know, at the end of the day, I wouldn't be too short or too bearish on the U.S. dollar at this point, because I do think at the end of the day, it's the most liquid reserve currency out there, and so it's the liquid assets in the world, and I do think there's going to be continuing demand for dollars.
Joe, on that note, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Basically ending on the note that, hey, the U.S. as the liquid reserve currency of the world, that's not going anywhere. And I guess really when we take a look at currency weakness, it's perspective, right? It's which currency is the dollar weakening against? And also a perspective, is it the dollar weakening or the other currency strengthening? Some good points made by Joe there. But then let's jump over to some of your key takeaways, Noelle.
Yeah, so I think for me here, stimulus is really driving the markets. But of course, the lockdown itself could present some more trading opportunities for tech stocks, although I think some analysts are saying those stocks are now overvalued and it's time to take profit. I think he's also very concerned about inflation still. It's something that he's wants to keep looking out for. And also, he's still optimistic about the US dollar. I find that quite intriguing, but I'm not sure in the short term, right?
Yeah, but whatever said and done, he does expect a big fiscal package coming out of Washington in early 2021, irrespective of the outcome. Lynn, yeah. What did you pay attention to there?
Yeah, I mean, I was interested as well in his comments about oil, because partly because we've been talking about it recently, right? We had a look at the oil and gas sector and what it's yesterday and what it's going to see, you know, depending on who eventually sits in the White House post election day, which is later today in the U.S. So, you know. Joe's of the opinion that the global macroeconomic situation is going to affect the oil and gas sector more. But I guess we'll have to wait and see who eventually is top dog.
Yeah, you know who else? What else Joe is of opinion of? Europe. Not the best place to be at this point. Europe is a laggard. I think he said that maybe two times during that call.
He's not very positive on Europe.
Europe has a lot of long-term structural issues.
He's not the only one. But let's move on to some earnings, actually. We've got some interesting earnings, starting out with Estee Lauder. Posted earnings much stronger than anticipated. Revenue came in at just under $3.6 billion. That was down 9% on year, but still beating projections.
So the company highlighted that the Asia Pacific region was currently the best area for sales. APAC sales, in fact, grew 9% on year, whereas it fell 8% in Europe and 25% in the Americas. Now, the revival in China's tourism was particularly taken to be a promising sign in this crucial growth market.
Yeah, interestingly, I'm looking at the segments, right? Skincare sales soared, whereas hair care was flat, and fragrance and makeup sales fell.
Interesting. We need to dive into these numbers and kind of dissect the new market segmentation for Estee Lauder. But not as much, I guess, with the changing consumer trends. This could be interesting to see how earnings from other, skincare companies and makeup companies come out, right? Cosmetic companies. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you very much.
You're thanking yourself.
Yes, I am. I am thanking myself.
Shall we go to the PayPal story?
Yes, we should. If you've been shopping online more since COVID-19 hit, you're definitely not alone, because numbers out of PayPal seem to indicate that that's happening across the place, right? PayPal's earnings were much helped by the rapid shift to e-commerce in the third quarter. It added new accounts at a record pace, adding 15.2 million new accounts, active accounts up 55% on year. It also added 1.5 million merchants.
Yeah, basically spending on the platform jumped 36% to $247 billion, about $15 billion more than analyst estimates. PayPal now sees adjusted profit climbing 27% to, this year, more than 25% jump previously forecasted. So I think CEO Dan Schulman says PayPal plans to dramatically expand functionality.
Yeah, and I think very recently, PayPal made some news by basically expanding, opening up to Bitcoin, I think, as part of their platform. So some really, really big things there. And right now, though, we're going to go into a few messages. When we come back, a look at the tour and travel segment with Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.